Before we get started, I just want to say hello, long time no see. This is a quick, fun episode that I am using to A, see if I still know how to make this podcast, and B, I'm testing out some new equipment and a different editing workflow to try to iron out some kinks I have identified in the past batch of episodes to make things easier. As with all good tests, the video side of this test completely failed, so that left me with just this audio version. So unfortunately, there is no video component to this episode on the YouTube channel like you would normally find. And it's too bad because there are some visual moments to this conversation. So the videos that we're discussing at certain points, I'm going to put links to in the show notes if you want to check those out so you know what we're talking about a little bit better. Anyway, if you're here, you made it. Sit back, enjoy the ride. This is Books Closed. Hello, everybody. You might not recognize me in this mask. But if you haven't heard about COVID-19, I'm doing my part. Are you? Anyway. So this is Books Closed, and I'm Andrew Stortz, and I haven't been here in a while, and that's okay, because I've been doing anything but making podcasts, and I've been enjoying the break. But as I try to figure out how I can continue to do this show in the times where we don't necessarily want to be traveling or being around each other more than necessary, I'm testing out some new gear, and this will help streamline some things and also help get better quality interviews from afar, potentially, as well. So this is more of a gear testing episode, but I thought we'd have a little fun while doing it. And today, I am joined by none other than Billy Chop, who is my number one main man. We own Worship Tattoo together here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and I feel like we've basically been doing this podcast together every day that we've worked for the last 6 years.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like I'm kind of the silent advisor, if you will.
The silent advisor, the silent co-host that none of you have actually heard yet. So I figured it probably makes the most sense to have you on this episode. One, because we're both here and we both have time. But even more importantly, because you've basically been, I don't know, I feel like I bounce all these different ideas off of you in the first place anyway.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Yeah. I think it's good though, you know. I enjoy being your sounding board, if you will.
Have I ever had an idea so crazy that you thought, man, this one's really going to backfire?
Mostly all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good. And that's why I trust you. So I thought that something fun we could talk about today could be based on a particular Instagram profile that I found recently. And I feel like this is really classic me, what I like to see on the internet. Something wacky, something unique, something that gets attention for, depending who you are, the right or the wrong reasons. And these are the things that I do like to discuss, as any listener of this show or viewer of my YouTube channel knows.
I think we need to preface this by saying that you've proposed this idea to me like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So it's been in my brain and I can't figure out what exactly it is you're going to pop on me here. So
exactly.
There's been a lot of anticipation leading up to this.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because I figured, oh, well, the shop shut down and we can't work. Well, we could probably do a bunch of cool podcast stuff or we can make some funny videos or whatever. And guess how many videos we made? Zero. So today's finally the day once we're like back to work for months and we're so busy and it just happens that we are both free right now, which is like the first time that we've not had customers in here since June, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
So without further ado, I'd like to present you with probably my favorite tattooer right now. His name on Instagram is Rixard Tattoo. I don't know if that's a play on Richard or what. I don't know. We'll call it Rixard. And I will start by just showing you one of the first videos that I saw of theirs on their page.
I can't wait.
Okay, let's describe what we just saw. We saw two folks on bicycles. One of them is our hero, Rixard Tattoo, who has blue nitrile gloves on and a purple Bishop Rotary, it looks like. And we've got a little battery pack on it. So they're both on bicycles. And the other person has their shoulder exposed.
And then Rick Sard drives up and starts tattooing them while they're both on bicycles.
You have to wonder that if the person in the lead actually knows that he's pursuing them with a tattoo machine.
Yeah. Are they involved? Right. Well, there's already a stencil on them. So we do know that.
So, all right.
So, and I think it's being filmed by someone also on a moped. This is like a whole thing.
It's a whole setup. They definitely had their route planned out.
Yeah. There was some choreography happening here. So the tattoo being done on their shoulder is a person on a bicycle, as they were.
Moments before.
It's kind of like that old tattoo design of the skull that says, as you, what does it say? As you are, I once was.
Yes.
That's kind of like.
As I am, you too will be.
Right. So that's kind of like this.
That's exactly like that.
The tattoo of the person on the bicycle, as I am, you also were while receiving this tattoo.
I mean, the tattoo is actually, you know.
What do you think about this? What is your first take?
I think the whole performance aspect of it is a little bit, you know, over the top. It reminds me of that scene in Jackass where Henry Rollins is tattooing Steve-O in a moving Jeep. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's a performance. I think it's just trying to, you know, do something different and garner attention. You know, I don't really think there's any purpose to it other than the thing itself.
Do you think this is cool or do you think this is whack?
No, I think it's cheesy.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, let's keep watching. And I will point out now that this whole page, it's very blatantly being billed as performance. This is performance art. So it's definitely doing what it's intended to do in that sense.
It feels like hipsters pretending to be like punk rock, you know?
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Here's the after photo of that tattoo. I actually think it's kind of interesting looking.
Yeah.
It has a certain energy to it.
I actually kind of like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Right. There are some other ones on this page where the end result is definitely not the point. But I think this one, and this was the first one that I had seen from this page. And I think the tattoo is kind of interesting.
So that's the video that got you hooked.
That one got me hooked. Well, I thought that was
the bicycles.
I thought it was just a one-off.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, this person had this crazy idea, whatever. And then I went to check out what their other tattoos looked like. And then I saw more stuff. Let's continue. We're going to dive backwards a little bit and see what we have here. Describe what you're seeing.
So he's tattooing a guy's head with his feet. And it looks like the quality of work on this guy is probably about the equivalent to what he's doing to him right now.
He's doing the squirt bottle with his feet.
Yeah, yeah. It's a whole thing. Now, is this a tattoo video or is it about, you know, toe, like a toe fetish shrimping sort of?
I don't want to kink shame anyone, but I am feeling a little turned on. Now, this does have some like foot fetish vibes.
Yeah.
From the like super zooms and all this stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is someone doing a tattoo on the top of somebody's head with their feet, doing the entire thing with their feet, from squirting it, cleaning it, wiping it, getting paper towels off the roll. It's all with the feet. Very gingerly.
I really wish he had some little like latex gloves that fit onto his feet.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Well, the end result of this tattoo is definitely more, I'm feeling a vibe of like, the last scene before someone turns into a zombie in a movie and their skin starts having that like veiny yeah. look and it spreads through them and they either turn into a zombie or a werewolf or something. Werewolf. Yeah. So that one is interesting. What do you think about that one?
I don't like that one. That doesn't do it for me.
Does it make you feel weird because of the foot aspect?
Yeah, it made me feel a little awkward.
I understand.
A little strange, just feeling feelings.
Okay. We're going to dive. Before heading into the future from the bicycle performance, we're going to head backwards to one other one that I think is very nice.
So we're going backwards in this?
Yes.
So this is his previous stuff, so this might not be representative of what, you know, his artistic vision. He's still developing as an artist.
Yes, I think you can say that as an artist, this person is constantly evolving.
Okay.
And I can say that like jokingly because all this is kind of goofy, but also there is an evolution happening for sure. So here's another one that I quite enjoy.
Are they fencing?
So we see a young lady in a park. She's sticking her hand out, and Rick Sard has short shorts on, like athletic shorts, no shirt, no shoes, and is holding the tattoo machine like a fencing sword.
Yeah, he's parrying.
Is that what you call it? Is it a sword in fencing, or is it has a more specific name?
I think it's a sword. An épée, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what they're called.
So he's holding it like an épée. And doing the whole Long John Silver trot all the way over, culminating in a single bzzz on her middle finger. And throughout this whole thing, they're laughing and smiling. And I think maybe this is what I like about this whole page, is that you could see someone doing something similar to this and taking it way seriously.
Yeah.
But this is clearly just like a fun thing. So maybe that's why I feel differently about it than other things I've seen in the past.
So are all these videos, do they all have that sort of comedic aspect to them?
To varying degrees, yes.
Okay. This one I like. This one I think is funny.
There's also a part two to this one, which is even more animated.
Are these the first attempts?
There's cartwheels and tumbling happening.
I like the fencing. The fencing makes it seem classier.
Right.
Me.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit more refined,
mm-hmm.
where this is just a cartwheel in
it's
a park.
Like freestyle.
Yeah, so now we got a lot of dots on the hands here. Inside, outside.
I mean, the first one was like really nicely placed.
Yeah, it was kind of
middle of her finger.
Right. It's like square on the knuckle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we have there. Let's see. This was July 31st, 2019. I think everything on this page that I can see here is within the past year or so. So now let's move forward. How are you feeling about all this stuff at this point?
I'm having mixed emotions right now.
Right.
I feel like if it's performance art, like that kind of annoys me, you know?
Why? Tattooing is a performance art. What do you think about that? Even detached from this specific thing.
Tattooing is a performance art, or
what do you think about tattooing as a performance art?
I don't know. I think because I'm more of a craftsman, I consider myself more of a craftsman than an artist.
What's the difference to you?
A craftsman is more, you know, creating something for their customer. You know what I mean? It's more about the client than the medium, if you will, you know, or the person providing it. An artist, I think, is similar but different. You're providing something that, you know, you have something that people want, like a style or, you know, a certain type of tattoo that you do that people come to you for. And, you know, they're happy just to be receiving something from you, like a commissioned piece of art,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I've always considered myself more of a craftsman.
Do you think that Rixard, what they do with tattooing, resembles what we do at all?
I think the humor aspect of it, you know, so we definitely were like constantly laughing in the shop and, you know, joking around, but I think there's some merit to it. You know what I mean? Like,
'cause this is something that we totally would have goofed on fully in the past.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
And we're goofing now, we're having fun, but yeah. I think it's kind of one of the things that's hoping to be evoked from this work, I would guess. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the people involved in this would be offended by someone laughing at it, because I think that that is part of the point.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also, I mean, it's similar to, like, you know, some of the videos that you've done in the past. It's meant to evoke something. You know what I mean?
I was just thinking that it almost feels like parody because it's so outrageous.
Exactly.
But it's real tattoos. So there also is like some sort of like weight to it in a different way.
Yeah. I think you can, you know, there's two ways of thinking about it. You can take tattoos incredibly seriously, you know,
yeah.
which a lot of us as tattooers do, you know, we're like, oh, these scratchers, you know, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we also have a regard for sort of the history of tattooing as, like, you know, a form of biker art or punk rock stuff, or, you know what I mean? Getting, like, you know, black flag bars at your friend's house that turn out, you know, incredibly horrible, and they get infected and they look, you know, shitty, but cool, you know?
Yeah.
So it's this mixed bag of, like, you know, I think that's probably why I'm feeling like both sides of, you know, that emotional sort of seesaw
yeah.
with these.
Well, I feel like a few years ago when we really started to see a lot of these kind of more like outsider artist tattooers, or I think they call this ignorant style tattoos. I think
that's the actual name.
I think that's a term that is used for these types of things.
Huh.
And I know when we first started seeing stuff like this on Instagram, we would talk about it at the shop. It was more the feeling was more like, oh my God, I can't believe that these people are getting so much attention. Like they're not, almost like we felt that they didn't, that they shouldn't be tattooing.
Yeah,
and that their customers are like being taken advantage of in some way because they're not receiving what we thought is like a proper tattoo.
Yeah. But it's also easy to feel that resentment that, you know, like they're garnering all this attention, you know, via social media or whatever for doing something that we consider like, you know, stupid or, you know, just like novelty or,
yeah,
you know, where I think a lot of tattooers feel like, oh, we earned this. You know what I mean? This is our thing.
But yeah, yeah.
It's not that way anymore. The world of tattooing is, you know, has spiraled off in a million different directions. And, you know, it's hard to even see some of them because the world is so vast. So the stuff that, like, you know, someone will introduce me to, like, you've shown me a bunch of stuff where I'm like, where did this person come from? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember listening to a lot of the podcasts when you first started and, you know, some of these artists, I was like, man, you know, I have no idea who this person is. They've been tattooing for like 3 or 4 years. Winston the Whale was one of them. I was like, man, this kid's awesome, you know, and he's doing stuff that's completely different and he's not hemmed in by the same constraints that I have in my own brain of what tattoos should be, you know?
Yeah, he's not deterred by the commonly accepted roadmap, I guess.
Yeah, whether you call that, you know, ignorance or whether you call that like, you know, he sort of has his own vision, whatever it might be, it's something different and it's something that's like, you know, has made me think about tattoos in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. And I think I wasn't even able to fully wrap my head around it when I talked to him for that episode. Cause I think that was at the end of the first season.
Yep.
So at this point, I don't know how long ago that was, but long enough where, I mean, anyone who listens to the show has kind of heard the evolution of thought that I've experienced through it. And I've said it a million times. I feel like a broken record almost talking about it still, but, I think it's interesting now the feelings that I get from seeing a page like this one and comparing it to what I might have thought just a couple of years ago. Because I think I used to get so caught up on thinking that anything with a novelty is not going to be timeless. It's not going to be worthwhile as a permanent tattoo for the span of somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I just don't give a shit now because it's not correct. I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah.
And I think that a novelty is actually a great thing. And I think that someone else could probably point out novelties in my own work all along. There's like, we're always incorporating trends or popular ideas or whatever. And that's a novelty in itself.
Well, we're always incorporating, like someone once, you know, told me that, you know, tattooing, like everyone that you meet that tattoos has a trick, you know, that you can learn, that you might already know. But our tattooing is summed up by a series of tricks that we use, you know, like little touches or certain personal stuff or spins that we put on stuff, you know. And, you know, I think that's novelty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, I got this tattoo from this artist that I really like. And it's, you know, it might not be like a style that you or I think of as like, you know, our definition of tattoo. But to them, it's like, it's awesome. You know what I mean? As a collector, it's like, it's cool, but it's, again, it's a novelty, you know?
Yeah. I think I always got hung up on that Mike Malone quote about tattooers building monuments to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has had a huge amount of weight on my mind through the years. And it probably still does as far as like making sure that you're always considering your client.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was the root of it. But I think that whatever I was able to derive from that statement over the years in the past also contributed to me being closed off to other ideas that didn't fit in that narrow lane.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think about novelty or to think about someone doing something that kind of serves them more, like this kid doing somersaults in a park and zapping someone and getting whatever this recognition on the internet is, because the performance art, they're making tattoos, like they're making marks on people, but what they're making is this video. Like the video is the product in this case.
Yeah.
So that is kind of like, you can look at it as self-serving if you want to be cynical about it. And I'm sure some people have seen this and felt the way that I have felt about other things. But I don't think it matters. It's just funny.
It's also the, you know, there's still that dynamic between the what it is, the video and the audience, but there's also a relationship between Rixard and his client, you know, the person that's in the video with him, you know, participating in this thing. That
these must be friends, I would assume. People
yeah.
that associate with them. So it is a fun thing.
Exactly.
Think about when we tattoo our friends.
Exactly.
And we're goofing around, we're doing our thing, and then the same thing, they're like, hey, I've got this crazy idea. I'm going
yeah.
to, let me show you another video. I'm going to attach a tattoo machine to a drone. And then we've got a woman here with her shirt off and getting her back tattooed. As he's
running away like she's getting attacked by a hive of bees.
Yeah, as he's flying the drone at her back. Too much wind, it says, so they had to take it inside. Showing facial expressions of discomfort.
Oh, he's really going for it. It's like
yeah,
full
this
back
is
piece.
Serious amounts of tattooing to endure.
Hmm.
Now,
drone.
Objectively, that tattoo looks like shit.
Yes, but this is what I worry about, is AI taking over our job.
This is like the bridge between
it's
that.
It's like a nightmare, yeah.
Well, see, this one, I feel like this video now, as we're evolving, this is testing how open-minded can you be? Because this is a lot of tattoo.
Mm.
It's one thing to do a few dots or to do a little thing, but now I can feel my like conservative views coming in again. Where it's like, wow, that's really a massive amount of tattooing happening on this person's back. And for what? For 43,000 views on Instagram.
But I think it's also, you know, again, it's like, it kind of has like that punk rock sort of feel, you know, where
yeah.
it's like, you know, just you and your friends goofing around with a tattoo machine and, you know, tattooing each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely not good, but, you know, who are we to say that, you know, the relationship between tattooer and client isn't there?
Yeah. And I don't get any sense that any of this stuff is happening against people's will.
Yeah.
You have to have a lot of willpower to stand there and endure a drone smashing into your back with the tattoo machine, like pointed straight at your back. But it's kind of amazing. I feel like this is a kind of, I don't know. All of these ideas are stuff would be like, you know, it'd be funny.
Yeah.
We fucking put a machine on a drone, dude. We fucking fly it into someone's back. It'd be fucking so funny. But it's actually happening.
Yeah.
And I like that. Knowing what it takes to coordinate people and making stupid videos and all this stuff, I think maybe that's where my soft spot for this really comes in, where I know what goes into it and I know what it feels like to be part of these wacky, stupid things.
Mm.
And it's fun.
But you're also from that sort of generation that was raised on, you know, these like bootleg skateboard videos that you'd watch.
Totally.
And like just kids destroying themselves. And it's like, oh, what, you know, like
yeah.
you could easily look at that and be like, you know, what are they doing that for? Why would they do that? You know, why would they
right.
do that to themselves? And it's like, because it's, you know, cause it's cool. It's fun. You know, it's like there's something to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same sort of vibe to me. It's like those like old skateboard videos that you would watch and you're like, holy shit, you know, like check this out, you know, which
yeah.
is what we're doing right now. You're showing me a video.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Now that's a very good point. Actually, I hadn't considered that. Now this one hits close to home to me as a former musician. What we have here is a cello performance for all you Yo-Yo Ma fans out there. And at the tip of the bow is that beautiful purple bishop rotary. And there's a young woman exposing her ribs, the side of her torso. And he is going full cello solo style, grinding into her ribs. And they're both standing. She looks like she wants to jump out of her body. Like she thought it would be a cool idea. And she's like, oh, yeah, this is my friend. Crazy idea. I'll do it. I've seen the other ones. I saw the foot video.
So is there audio to this?
Let me see.
Because if he's playing like a really nice cello solo, I mean, that would be... No, it's not good. He does not know what he's doing with either the tattoo machine or that cello.
This sounds like when I was in college and I had to take a string techniques class and we all had to learn how to play string instruments, which is really difficult, and it sounds terrible, like an elementary orchestra. So that's how that tattoo looks.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that really tests how open-minded are you when it comes to performance art tattoos. Because how many ideas can you have that really yield the end result being a nice tattoo when you're trying to up the ante. And that's the other thing that's weird, is when you're trying to outdo yourself with this, you can only go up. Once you've done the cello, once you've done the bicycle, you've done, there's another one where someone does like a shadow puppet on somebody's leg, and then they just trace around the fingers and stuff, and it gets you a tattoo that looks like that across the back of somebody's legs, both legs. And so you keep upping the ante to something more and more out there and something more and more striking, whether it's the visual, the tattoo itself, or usually more the process. Like this one we have here, which was made, this is the latest post, down the arms, the back, and everything. This has, there's a certain line quality that's achieved in a lot of these, where it does look like ink splatter, kind of.
Yeah.
There's like a calligraphied kind of line from like scraping haphazardly a machine across somebody's body.
Yeah. I mean, it has some dynamic to it.
Yeah. There is energy to these lines, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because I would think that they would just be shitty gray lines.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why these people are squirming so much, because there are some lines that are very black.
Yeah. Well, there's also a drone that's smashing them into people. So
so this newest one was created.
I'm sure Franco is really psyched that he's using Bishop machines exclusively in all these videos.
Hey,
too.
It had to be some machine. It might as well be yours. This is on a trampoline. And there you have it. I'd be willing to bet a lot of these, a lot of what we were seeing here when it's fresh falls out, because a lot of it is just kind of scraping the surface.
Yeah, most definitely. But it reminds me of like abstract art, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, whether or not you appreciate it, it's like people like it, you know, certain people like it or gravitate towards it for whatever reason.
Right. Not everybody wants the same thing.
Exactly.
And there are people, I mean, I think you could make any kind of tattoo and there would be somebody in the world who would enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that never rings truer than when we see these sorts of things that are really focused on the process and the, like the pageantry of it, if that's the correct way to describe it. And I think that's very interesting. Do you think COVID-19 is making it more difficult to do performance art tattoos?
I would assume so.
But if they're punk rock.
If you have access to a drone, I mean, it's, you know.
Maybe that's a solution.
Just all start using drones.
Can you imagine that in here? If we had, if
just
we're
two drones
both working,
around.
There's two drones flying around and shit's blowing off the walls, getting caught in people's hair.
It'd be amazing.
Oh, man. That'd be cool. And we could fly it across the street to pick up a sandwich.
Yeah.
Put a little hook
anything.
On it.
Get a cup of coffee. You know, run some errands.
So what is your take?
On the COVID-19 aspect of it?
No.
On that?
Just in general. Let's tie a bow around this.
Okay.
Seeing all these things and all these things considered, how do you feel about Rick's art tattoo?
I mean, I think he's, you know, obviously doing it for the attention, for the novelty, for, you know, it's performance art. One of my questions is, does he do actual tattoos as well, or is this all that he does?
That was one of my biggest questions at first, too. And it looks like there are probably tattoos that aren't performance art in that same way, but they all have a similar kind of feel where they're, maybe I can pull some up. There's not a lot of work done otherwise that you see.
That he posts on that page.
Yeah, but there are, because then he'll post like Berlin, July 28th to 30th, Warsaw, 30, you know, dates for doing work. So there's definitely, I think there's probably a heavier focus on the performance stuff because that's going to get a lot of attention online, obviously.
Yeah,
because it's like,
but he's not like doing guest spots in shops or.
I think so.
Huh.
But as we know, there's, at this point, there are shops with multiple artists that do this kind of like ignorant tattoo kind of stuff anyway. So I'm sure that it'd be easy to find a place to do appointments.
So with the designation of this being ignorant tattoo, do you think that this stuff is a response to sort of the attitude of snobbery that some people find in tattooing now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do too.
But I think there's some irony to it because it's almost like creating a new snobbery within like crude tattoos.
Mm.
Because to me, I see this stuff. If I had to put the label of like high art tattooing on something as far as like what's popular right now, I would probably look to stuff like this.
Mm.
like the super minimal, the super crude, like on purpose crude. Mm-hmm. And there are people that do really clean and refined versions, but still have that like prison style single needle stuff, or the more like house, like punk house tattoo kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like clearly more refined and a little more developed and different. Mm-hmm. But if you see, like, I feel like you could probably open up some fashion magazine and you will see this kind of work on models.
Yeah.
Men and
sure.
women.
Absolutely. But I feel like it kind of, you know, you can look down on it or sort of be like, oh, this is, you know, fucking stupid. I feel like in a lot of ways it's where creativity is sort of forged, you know what I mean? Or like formed, because it breaks the rules. It's like, right. it's not what we know as, you know, tattooing or proper tattooing. It's, you know, it's something that's completely out of our realm of, like, we would never do that to someone, you know?
Right.
But it also, like, again, you know, seeing some people that are ignorant, which, you know, ignorant tattooing, that are ignorant of the rules that we've learned, you know, through apprenticeships or just, you know, trial and error, it kind of forces you to think about it in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh man, well, maybe I could do that. Or, you know, maybe this is like, okay, you know? And if you think about some of the rules that we follow, because we're rooted in tradition, we are following the rules of, you know, people from generations past, where now we have equipment that's more, you know, dialed in. We have, you know, machines that are cordless. We have, you know what I mean? We have needles that are pre-made for us. We have, you know what I mean? All this stuff and inks that have been really refined and tested and, you know, are tried and true. So it's like, we're using more modern equipment. Why wouldn't the, you know, the rules evolve along with that? You know? So maybe it's, you know, not time for a rethink, but, you know.
I think a rethink is definitely, I mean, a rethink is always happening in various ways, but
That's true.
Like right now.
Which is why tattooing is always evolving.
Yeah.
You know, and it's why it's always expanding and going into these different sort of, not mediums, but like different sort of incantations or, you know, like forms.
Well, I think mirroring society, we're seeing a huge push forward for a lot of things. And I think that a lot of this more crude tattooing is tied to a lot of identities of people and a lot of people's, just the rest of their lives, everything that's wrapped up in who they are. Mm-hmm. And, I think that I've seen a shift in thought, at least a shift in public thought, you know, because we all follow different people's Instagrams and some people share more of their personal thoughts than others. Some people just share their work or whatever. But I feel like the torch that was always carried in such a loud way about stopping scratchers and shit like that, I feel like that is not as publicly like a huge pressing matter for a lot of people anymore. Because I think a lot of us are waking up to see that is definitely just a way of like limiting people's opportunities and stuff.
Exactly. And I think that this style of tattooing is a response to that. You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, I mean, it has to be.
Yeah. A lot of these kids, you know, might've gone to a shop and, you know, asked about an apprenticeship and been like thrown out the door, you know, and just been like, you know, fuck off, you know?
Yeah.
So this is their response to that. Like, you know, fuck you. I can get a tattoo machine off eBay, you know, now. Whereas, you know, back in the day you had to know someone who knew someone who built machines, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how you acquired a set of machines. And it was like this prized possession that you have. And now they're, you know, mass manufactured in China, you can get them anywhere, you know?
And I feel like even people with like scarcity mentality, this should be the least threatening style of tattooing to anyone who fancies themselves like a more skilled tattooer, however you want to view yourself.
Yeah.
Because nothing that I've done really resembles much of this stuff. So who cares? It's catering, it's catering to a clientele that I'm not catering to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
But again, I think it's easy to become resentful of, you know, attention grabbing things on like YouTube or social media, you know what I mean? We're also programmed to be like, you know, how many likes did this get? How many followers do I have? You know, why does this dude who's flying drones around and, you know, doing cartwheels into people with a tattoo machine, why is he getting more views than I am? You know, and it's easy to resent that. And I think that's where a lot of sort of the modern bashing of this style of tattooing comes in. it's not necessarily that like, oh, this guy's not following tradition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, why is this guy getting so many views and why is this guy getting so much attention? You know, and I'm not, and my tattoos are, you know,
and I work so hard and I was up drawing and perfect
and drawn so well. And it's like, it's just, you know,
being good isn't enough to stand out.
Exactly.
And that's in some cases,
there's
unfortunate.
Tons of good people now, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You know, tattooing in my 40s now, it feels like I'm racing against, you know, faster horses that are, you know, like kids that are 20 years old and crushing it. You know what I mean?
How old were you when you started?
I was 30. Yeah. So I had like a whole lifetime of stuff that I did before tattooing, you know?
Yeah.
And tattooing was always something I was interested in, but, you know, it just found me when it found me and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you know, I did a ton of stuff before that. And now tattooing has been my life for the past, you know, 12 years. And it's just, I wish I'd gotten into it when I was in my 20s and like, you know, been that much further ahead, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you know, man, there's so many good people out there. So like you said, it's hard, you know, just being good isn't enough. You have to be like, exceptional.
I mean, it is enough.
It is.
We're talking about like the rat race of like the internet and recognition and stuff, but being good is, being good is enough. Like you can have a great career and a great, you can have
great clientele.
Yeah. Great relationships with your clients and do great work for people. Like that is totally enough. And it's crazy that we even have to like specify, because it really is like, there are so many facets to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of us are like chasing something that we don't actually need.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to like getting this like feedback from the rest of the world.
Yeah. I think when I say good isn't enough, it's not enough to like stand out on, you know, Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to have something like weird or exceptional or, something that just is so out there that people are like, what is this? You know, and they pay attention to it.
Yeah.
I think that's how I wanted to come across. Not that, you know, just being a good tattooer is like terrible.
Right.
But yeah, we are all chasing that sort of something, you know?
Yeah. Under the guise of like, oh, it's going to make me more busy or it's going to do something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, give yourself a pat on the back or, you know, make you feel good about yourself for, you know, that minute period of time where that, you know, serotonin kicks in and you're like, oh, I got 100 likes on this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you have always been open to different ideas as far as like equipment and things more than other people that I've worked with over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always stood out. And I wonder if that's because you started tattooing later in life. So you did have like a different foundation than a lot of people that I know.
Yeah. Maybe because
it's more of like a practical approach where you just take something for what it is instead of like what it's perceived to be.
Yeah. Or, and I think you have to, especially now with, you know, so much stuff advancing and, you know, coming forward, and, you know, you have to be open to these new ideas because there's a reason that they exist. Like, you know, I remember when I started using rotaries and it was like, you know, light dawns on marble head, and it just, you know, you have to be open to that stuff. You can't just shut yourself off from it again because of, you know, some notion of tradition. You know what I mean? And it's like, again, it's like trying to follow these rules that, you know, aren't necessarily right anymore in today's world. You know what I mean? They might be outdated and they might be, you know, you might have to rewrite them in your own brain or reprogram yourself to think like, well, maybe my tattoos will be better because, you know, I'm trying this new thing, or, you know what I mean? And it's that constant process of evolving or self-evolution that I think is important in tattooing. It's the most frustrating and best part about tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that, you know what I mean? Because you're constantly learning shit and you're constantly getting like beaten back. And you're, you know, it's this constant like wading into the ocean and these waves just hitting you. And you're like, oh man, you know, and sometimes you're on top of them and sometimes you're at the bottom of the swell. And you're just like, man, I'm, you know, but you got to just keep moving forward. And, you know, however you have to do that is how you have to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Let's wrap this up with a segment I like to call, this isn't really a segment, I've never done this, but.
That's a new thing.
Called Hot Takes. So I got an email the other day. I must be on some mailing list for some website or something. I don't even know what it is. But it was a list of tattoo conventions that are scheduled now around the world. And
this is in the wake of COVID-19.
Like right now. Like, yeah.
Okay.
So stuff that's been rescheduled to stuff that's happening this month, stuff that's happening next month and forward. So what do you think about tattoo conventions right now? Too soon?
I don't think they're a good idea. That's the thing with the whole, you know, wherever you stand in the political forum, you know, the government can and will shut things down again if they have, you know, if they deem it necessary. So if you're overextending yourself and like trying to get back to normal too soon, it just sets everything back. It sets everyone back, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's a dangerous precedent just in the world.
I just feel like people aren't even going to show up anyway.
Exactly.
Even if nothing bad happens, everyone does the right thing and everyone pitches in and does their part. I just feel like you're not going to see, I feel like the attendance at tattoo conventions has been on a decrease over the last few years anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Just in general. Yep. They're not busy like I feel like they used to be.
Yep, for sure.
And I mean, some shows are better than others, obviously, but I just can't imagine a lot of people dying to go out and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same exact way. It's, you know,
and I'm sorry if you were on a tattoo convention, you're listening. We're not trying to fuck your shit up because we're all kind of fucked up a little bit, but like, come on. And I'm sure a lot of you that do that are sitting there with canceled events and stuff postponed for over a year. And you're like, you know.
Yeah. And it's a crowd event, you know, like there's a lot of, convention coordinators that are doing the, you know, trying to be as responsible as they can and not put people at risk.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a good thing, you know. Just, I always say, err on the side of caution. So, you know, like who wants to be responsible for throwing a convention and having an outbreak and having, you know, someone that was immune compromised ending up in the hospital? Like, no one wants to be responsible for that.
Because what would be the point of holding a convention right now anyway? I understand that it becomes a business when you run a convention.
Exactly.
But it seems irresponsible to me.
Yeah, for sure. And not to mention, like, right now, if you want to get tattooed by someone, you know, specific, and you're like waiting for them to come to your hometown, it's like, man, plane tickets are dirt cheap right now, you know, and you can just fly somewhere, get tattooed for, you know, pretty short money. So it doesn't make sense to fly, you know, people from all over the United States and have them all in one room and like potentially like bringing that back to wherever they're from. It seems silly.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any COVID specific rules about like, people that do those like suspension performances at conventions.
No.
Like, do they have to distance?
They're above the like the COVID line, you know, they're hanging above it. So
they have to put their own hooks in their back before they start going up there.
They're totally not at risk at all.
Shit. Yeah.
They're flying around the room so quickly that they're just, there's no way they're going to get sick.
Well said. Very well said. Well, I guess that'll do it. This was just kind of a test, but it's been what? How long has it been? Yeah, it's been 45 minutes. That's pretty good.
We've been talking for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it goes quick.
Holy shit. This is the longest I've ever talked to you.
I know. I know.
Getting bored.
I had to have you introduce yourself at the beginning because I couldn't remember what your name was.
There's this guy that works next to me.
It's actually better. I think I should always have you talk into a mic and I'll wear headphones because I think I heard everything you said for the first time. I'm actually going deaf, I think, and it's alarming.
It explains why you don't talk most of the time when we're here. It's usually me babbling.
Well, because the way we are, now I have my own machine. This is between you and me, my own machine, an air purifier filter thing that's like, this thing's like steaming because we're running it so hot all the time, but it's fucking doing the job. The air conditioner most of the time, and then your machine, and then like our clients farting and jostling around and stuff.
Music playing.
Yeah, and music.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to hear anything?
I don't know. Because I'm cracking some pretty funny jokes back here, and they're just not landing the way I want them to.
If I don't laugh, it's because I didn't hear it. But okay, I know a lot of times that...
Don't patronize me.
I know a lot of times, he's just not very funny. I know a lot of times that my clients will say something and I just don't react.
Yeah, I know. I've been here and seen it. It's pretty awkward. You don't talk most of the time. Like I said, I've said this before. You'll go through an entire appointment and not say anything to your client.
That's not true.
And then, at the end, you realize that you haven't spoken in 3 hours. Like, so what do you do for work? As you're wrapping them up.
It has happened. I don't know. There's something, some people just don't have the vibe. I don't know, because you're always feeling someone out at first.
Mm.
And we all have people that we get along with better than others. And you try to make them comfortable and stuff. But some people you just can't talk to the whole time. And that's totally fine. It's not because they're bad or an uninteresting person, but some people want to vibe out.
Yeah, that's true.
And I feel like I've been doing a lot of like long sessions on people.
Yeah, that's true.
And I get more done when I shut my mouth, because when I get all riled up, I just start goofing around too much.
Yeah.
So I try to keep my eyes on the prize, but it's like a little too much. And then my hearing loss and potential, I don't know, some sort of autism or something, I think, and I'm not even making a joke. I don't know. I've never been diagnosed, but I feel like the older I get, the more problems I must have.
Yeah.
Because I'm running out of excuses.
Yeah.
There's got to be a real route that can
just be. Living on old age.
Yeah, that's definitely what it is. Anyway, this has been quite a year.
It has been.
We just opened the shop in February, and we worked for about 5 weeks, and then we had to close it down for 10 to 12 weeks or something,
weeks,
whatever it was, from like early mid-March through all of April and May. I mean, we had it easy compared to a lot of people. People in California are still fighting to get their shops open. Can you fucking imagine that?
No, I can't even.
It's been, what is that, 7 months?
Yeah, it's insane. I don't know what they're doing or how they're surviving out there, but, you know, I consider us pretty fortunate because we live in an area of the country that hasn't been hit super hard by this.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like smaller town here, like a small city. So we, as far as New Hampshire goes, which is a pretty like sleepy state, we're probably like the epicenter of it in the state, but it's like also not bad.
Yeah.
So we're definitely lucky in that regard. But yeah, I can't imagine still being closed. And imagine if we had just opened and it's crazy. Just the timing is crazy.
Yep.
But I don't know. I had all these dreams that I was going to accomplish all these things. And it was honestly difficult to find the motivation to do anything constructive.
Yeah. Well, we'd just been through our build out, which took a couple months. So we were busy doing that and then cutting through all the red tape that we had to cut through.
Busy spending our collective life savings
all our money just to get the place open. So it was kind of a nice reprieve to get a little bit of a break and, you know, just kind of spend time. I mean, we both did painting. We both painted while we were down and we both did stuff.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we weren't as ambitious as we thought we were going to be, but we still accomplished some shit.
Yeah, I think it was okay to finally feel like we had an excuse just to chill.
Yeah.
And you got a baby at home, so that was nice to just not feel the pressure of work stuff and just really dig into baby stuff, which is pretty amazing.
I think the routine kind of helped too. It was like, it was nice having, you know, someone else to be concerned with. You know, and like I've told clients, aside from the, you know, the crippling anxiety that I had, and
from impending financial ruin,
the impending doom. It was actually a pretty nice, you know, nice break to get to spend time with my son and just see him grow, you know.
Yeah.
It's time that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So,
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess in that sense, it was definitely good timing for you. Must be nice. So, but no, it was good. And honestly, when I heard that we were able to reopen like a week before, I was a little bummed in the sense that I had been planning what I was going to do for like some stuff around the house and gardening stuff and shit that I was just finally going to get to. And I was getting comfortable in knowing that I don't know when I'm going to work next and just not waiting for it to happen. And so once I let it go, we came back and that was a good thing. Although it felt weird. I felt conflicted, which I didn't expect.
Yeah. It's difficult to keep your brain occupied. So your mind just finds ways of doing things. You know what I mean? It finds that sort of easiest route to like, to cope with an adverse situation. And, I think that's what everyone did. You know, there's a lot of people whose mental health is like, you know, on the downside right now still, you know, 'cause they're just this sort of like, they're not able to work still, or, you know what I mean? So we're pretty fortunate in that we've, you know, been able to go back, and it's however people cope with the shutdown and however they coped with the shutdown is, you know, you shouldn't feel, I don't think anyone should feel like, you know, bummed out or guilty or, you know, for not spending the time more wisely. It's just, it is what it is. And you got to do what you got to do to get through it. And if that's, you know, sitting around watching TV or playing video games or, you know, gardening or doing whatever,
yeah,
you know, that's what people had to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. It was definitely a good exercise in just having your whole life shaken up. But I think I saw a lot of things differently and maybe more clearly in a lot of ways, as far as like how work fits into my life and what I need from work and like how much I need back from it as far as money, time, all these things. And I think that we've definitely been working at a little bit more of a relaxed pace. I mean, we're still working like maniacs, but like it feels more relaxed in that we're not allowed to take walk-ins. And that takes off the pressure of like, oh, I finished my appointment early. I better wait here. What if someone stops by at 6:30 or 7:30 or whatever? And just not having that like hanging over your head has been an interesting change as far as like how comfortable it is to just plan your work day every day and just doing appointments and kind of putting more into appointments and knowing what's coming at you. I don't know. It's a different feeling that I don't think I've experienced in the same way before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. It's nice to just come in and, you know how your day is going to suss out, and there's no sort of like, I mean, even if it's not a conscious thing, still with, you know, walk-ins, you feel that drive to like take care of a client or, you know, make sure, you know, help people get the tattoo that they want to get. And, you still feel that frantic sort of like, you know, impetus to like do another one, you know, but now it's like, you come in, do our appointments, take as much time as we need, you know, not feel rushed or, you know, that like sense of like, we need to work. It feels good. I like it. I kind of like the pace.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I'd like people dropping in and, you know, coming in and being able to actually see like what we've set up here, you know, and look through portfolios and, you know, shoot the shit about tattoos or, you know, just people walking by, stopping in to say hello. It's kind of nice just having solid clientele, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always grateful for that.
Yeah, for sure. And if I never have to do another Zoom consultation, I'll be happy.
I gave up on Zoom consultations.
They're so bad.
I can't handle them.
Yeah, they're rough. I don't know why they're so rough. I talk to a lot of people on Zoom and I never feel bad about it, but there's something about doing a consultation over it just feels...
Yeah.
I don't know, and it's nobody's fault. It's just not ideal.
Yeah, it feels weird.
But yeah, anyway, if anyone is still listening to this, thanks. Thanks for tuning in and checking out this kind of low-key ep. I had made an episode about COVID-19 stuff before we were able to reopen, so it must have been the end of May, and it's pretty much all edited and ready to go. I just never put it out, and I talked to some really fantastic people for it, and I'm sorry to you that were part of it, that you just never came out, but it was right as the world kind of exploded as far as like protests and crazy stuff happening in the US, that it just felt like talking about like feeling nervous about reopening your tattoo shop after being closed for a couple months. It just felt like none of that was really that important at the time. So I don't know, maybe I'll put that out still sometime, but it was interesting. Maybe down the line, it'll be more interesting because it'll be like a snapshot in time as we were like first navigating coming back after all that stuff. But I feel like a lot of us are going through it. And if you're a client or a tattoo collector listening to this, and you've probably been tattooed since shops have reopened, so we've all gotten a taste of what it's like, and it's kind of just how it always is.
Yeah.
Once you get going, it just all kind of feels like how it always was, except we're wearing masks now.
Yeah. It feels the same but different.
Yeah. Yeah. So fuck it. Maybe I'll never put it out. So what? It's the lost episode. Actually, there's a few lost episodes. Anyway, this has been Books Closed. I hope you enjoy this because I know visually, if you're watching this, it's not as pretty as it normally is, because if I could explain to you how much easier this gear setup is, it's unbelievable. When I would travel to do stuff, I'd have like 2 to 3 huge checked bags and like Pelican cases full of equipment and all this fucking stuff. And anyone who's been interviewed for the show has seen me like scramble to set it up and break it down. It's like way too much shit. In this setup, it's all one iPhone, two iPhones, two mics, and a little audio thing that goes into one of the iPhones. It's pretty amazing.
They call this ignorant podcasting.
This is ignorant podcasting, yeah.
It's totally so punk rock.
It's so punk rock. I'm just trying to figure out a way to make this easier so I can make more episodes, because the gear and the moving it around and just keeping all that stuff in check, and then also all the work that comes after something is recorded, that's the barrier that keeps me when I'm busy with real work, like tattooing every day or anything else. That's what keeps me from making more episodes. So I'm trying to streamline it, trying to figure out how to make this all work so I can come back and do some more episodes, because I've got a bunch of ideas. I've got some guests from last season that I just wasn't even able to get to. Some people I really am excited to talk about, and people that have confirmed to me that they are interested in doing the show, and I've just been ghosting everybody. So I'm going to try to change that. So if this works, if you like this, if it looks good enough, and if it sounds good enough for your taste, let me know. If something's fucked up or you think you know how you can make it better, I'm sure you're going to let me know. But I do appreciate that.
Can I suggest that we put the camera on the end of a fencing épée and maybe do some somersaults around the room while filming?
That? Yeah. Okay. Watch this. So I'll take the mic here and I'll go like this. Coming at you. I feel like an MC when I hold the mic in my hand.
This is going to be a thing. It's going to be performance art meets podcasting. It's going to work. It's going to get you a million views.
I like that. I'm going to, how do you spell épée?
E-P-E-E.
Oh.
There's an accent mark on one of those E's though.
I thought you spelled it like ape with the thing over the E.
I'm sure people will get the point.
Sounds like some sort of French porridge.
Yeah, it's definitely French.
Anyway, this has been Books Closed. I'm Andrew Storitz. This has been Billy Chop, and we are here at Worship Tattoo in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where you can find us tatting every day. But don't just walk in, because that's not allowed, and we will be forced to draw our épées towards your direction.
Indeed. It will be filmed.
Yes, you will get a warning prance in your direction. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hopefully I'll be back soon, and let me know what you think. Thanks. Bye.
Cool.